Matthew 24, we'll just read verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And that's the reason why we call this period the tribulation. Now, so far, in looking at things, I've picked out a verse here and there, and you can't do that and decide what Scripture is saying. But the purpose now is just to get an overview of it, and then we'll go back and look at these things in more detail, the amount of detail depending on how the interest holds up. I'll turn over to Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 9 is, I think, the most important scripture in relation to putting certain things in perspective as to what's going to happen when you add all these other scriptures to them. So we'll read the whole portion, beginning at 24. Most of you, if not all of you, know that Daniel chapter 9, Daniel was reading Jeremiah, and he discovered that there were 70 years that Israel was going to be out of the land. You know, these studies are interesting if you're interested in finding the various things in Scripture and how they build up. And the 70 years started with the first carrying away of captives out of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and ended when the first of those captives were sent back into the land. That is the 70 years of captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar carried away people from Jerusalem. Actually, it was four times, but the first time, he didn't conquer the land. He just went up, and that's when he took Daniel and those few princes back. And then he came back later and conquered the land, or at least fought in the land three different times and carried away captives. And then Cyrus gave the decree for them to go back later on. So Daniel read that, and it God is hard interested in these things. And so the beginning of the chapter is his prayer, confessing the condition of the children of Israel and looking to God that he might deliver them in accordance with his promise. And so he gets this message. And this message from 24 to the end is the history of Israel from that time on. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make the end of sin. And that again reminds us of how we began this study, that this prophecy is in relation to the disobedience of God's people, or the disobedience of the nation, and then to the obedience, and either there's wrath or there's promises, depending on which condition the prophecy relates to. So, for the transgression of Israel, the reason that the 10 tribes were carried away and the reason that the other 3 tribes were taken away for 70 years is because of transgression. Now, God is going to make an end of that. And to make an end of that, there were 70 weeks determined. Now, most of you know, I guess, that these weeks were weeks of days, and each day of the year. So, and in the middle of verse 24, to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So 70 weeks were determined from the time that Daniel got this and sometime in here until the time here when the 70th week is ended and when the Lord comes down to reign in righteousness, to bring reconciliation, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And what Israel was looking for when the Lord came down was for the Messiah to do this. The 70 weeks hadn't been fulfilled yet. And so the Messiah didn't come to do that. But the Messiah that they were looking for now, and that some Jewish people are still looking for to come onto the earth and to set up a kingdom, will come. And that's this phrase, to anoint the most holy. So 70 weeks of day years are the prophecy here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So, the beginning of these 70 weeks didn't have anything to do with the 70 years that they were carried away. But the beginning was when the commandment went forth to build Jerusalem. Now, the commandment went forth to build Jerusalem when Nehemiah went back. He built the wall and the city. There were already people in the land. They'd gone back under Zerubbabel and they'd gone back under Ezra. Zerubbabel was the prince. He was in the kingly line. Ezra was the priest. He was the priest. And they went back and they built the temple. And we have studied portions in relation to that. But then after that, and then the commandment was given for the city to be rebuilt. And that's Nehemiah. And that's when the 70 weeks started. And this is again one of those tremendous prophecies of Scripture. The Lord's birth was recorded many years before it happened that he would be born of a virgin. The city of his birth was recorded. Did he be born in Bethlehem? And even though his parents didn't live in Bethlehem, he was born in Bethlehem. And the time of the Messiah's life down here is prophesied here.
So first of all, it tells us that after 69 weeks, Messiah the Prince shall come. Now it's divided into 7 3/4 weeks and 2 weeks for a particular reason, which I'm not sure of. But what we're looking at now is prophecy in relation to the end times. So until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 3/4 and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 3/4 and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So the actual time of his death is prophesied. The moment that commandment went forth to rebuild the city until the time he was crucified on Calvary's cross was 69 times 7 years, whatever that is. And then it tells us, but not for himself. And I like that translation. Some of the later translations that says, and shall have nothing. I don't think that he has nothing. That he, not for himself. Both, in a sense, are true, but this is more true. Because he wasn't cut off for himself. He was cut off for us. He died for us. He didn't die because of any sin that he had. He was sinless. He didn't die for any other reason except that he came down here to die in order to redeem man back to himself, in order to set up these things that were going to happen after that. Now, for a moment, the rest of this is what we want to look at to establish a time period up there. But not for himself, verse 26. Now, you have to read the language very carefully here. The people of the prince which shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, there's two conditions here. There's the people, and they're going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. And that happened sometime in the 70s A.D., they say. But the prince that shall come is really the first part of the subject of the prophecies that we'll get into. So the city and the sanctuary were destroyed by the Roman people. And a Roman prince is going to do the rest of this. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and under the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now the language here is a little complicated, and maybe it isn't the best in the King James Version, but we're not concerned with that. What we're concerned with is getting the facts. And he, that's the prince, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. Now, we were mentioning on Sunday that the Old Testament does not prophesy about the church period. And we mentioned one condition where it's evident, where the Lord himself quoted from Isaiah, and he quoted all those things that he would do when he came, except one thing. He stopped at the word would say, in the day of vengeance of our God. He's coming for all those things that he mentioned in Luke, and then he didn't mention the day of vengeance of our God because that wasn't yet to be. And so, this is the same way that you have the accuracy of Scripture. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's the 70th week. The first 69 weeks and the 70th week are divided by this period. It's not mentioned, but it's the fact. And in the course of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, with a little better translation maybe of this, the sense is that the prince of the people that destroyed the sanctuary, well, they know who destroyed that, the Romans destroyed it. So a Roman prince is coming in a day to come, and for that last week he's going to make a covenant with Israel. And you have to guess at why he made the covenant, I think. But you know, these are all things that you can try to find out if you're interested. But anyway, in the middle of the week, that is after 3.5 years, he's going to break the covenant. And then as a result of that, after the last 3.5 years are really that terrible time of the tribulation. But all of this summary is given to establish the fact that there's 7 years in here.
Yeah.
And give us an idea of how, what to look for as we think of this period here, this 70th week of Daniel. Now, of the rest of the time, there's no time given in scripture as plain as this. However, you can try to figure out what the rest are. I'm personally convinced that there's 7 millennia in God's dealings in time. God deals in sevens. He had 7 days of creation, and I'm sure he has 7 days of time. And that is in relation to his the statement in 2 Peter that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So, if that's the case, you can put up here, as we sit here today, some times. You put in here 2,000 years. You have to put a question mark around it. If that's the case, then there's has to be 4,000 years here, or 7. So that's 3,993. Now, this may even be so, you see, as far as these times go. But when these times start and end, there's no way to tell. One thing, you can't tell by the calendar, because the calendar's all messed up. And you can't tell from scripture, because the exact beginning of some of these times is not shown. There's one thing that's absolutely sure, and that is when the Lord was crucified. That is predicted right to the day, as we read here in Daniel chapter 7. Now, turn over to Luke chapter 10, and I'll tell you why I think there's 2,000 years in this period. But that's just as a matter of interest. It has nothing to do with actuality. Now, you know, Luke chapter 10, did I say? Alright. The Christian period, Christian people have been looking for the Lord to come today. And that's an absolute fact. Because, you know, as we live on this earth, as far as we're concerned, when we depart, the Lord has come for us. Depart not to the air, but that's the end of us. That's why when we look forward to the Lord's return, we say it might be today. down through the years, that might not be how people look at it, but that's an actual thing. The Lord says when the disciples asked when the kingdom would be established, that's the beginning of the 1,000-year period. He says that time isn't given to anybody. So there was no way of telling when that period is time-wise. Because in spite of all these things, an interesting study, if you like to make a study, you know, the way to study the Bible and things like this is sit down with a piece of paper and draw out diagrams. And then you begin to see how things fall apart into line. And you can study the Old Testament, and I don't think that you can establish the number of years that it is, but you almost can. You can put it into a lot of perspective by doing it, but it's quite a detailed and long study. But if sometime you're laid up and you're sick for 6 weeks or something, there's something for you to do. Now, in Luke chapter 10, there's the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know, there was a priest and a Levite that would have nothing to do with the man that was wounded. But the Good Samaritan came along, and he bound up his wounds, and he took him to a place where he could board him. And it says in verse 35, on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now, there's nothing exact about this, but there is a way of figuring it. A pence was a day's wage. A day is 1,000 years. Therefore, it's 2,000 years. There's this evidence here, but if you turn back to Hosea, it's a little more obvious. Hosea chapter 6. I didn't mean to take up so much time on establishing these times, but really, what I'd like to do is interest you in the figuring out some of these things yourself. Well, let's see. I should have put down this verse here. Oh, verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now this is Israel speaking. This is what has happened to him. And the real time, of course, is in the 7-year tribulation period. But this happened to him back in Hosea's day. And this is what he says in verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Now that's exactly what's going to happen. After 2 days he's going to revive them, and they're going to live in his sight. So if you put the 2 days to 2,000 years, it comes out about the same, except the 7 years of the tribulation floating around. So these things are not accurate, but the main thing is that to see that God deals in an orderly way. And I think that it will be borne out that he is dealing with time in these 7,000-year periods. And what he has done, in the first period here, in perfection, he showed that he could give a human being everything he could possibly desire, except one thing, and that man couldn't obey him. Then he dealt with men directly. He came down and he talked to them directly. They knew it was God, and he proved that they couldn't obey him. First of all, he had to send the flood. After that, he sent all kinds of things in relation to judgment. He had to abolish Sodom and Gomorrah. Then he came and he got a people and he told them exactly what they should do. And he gave them the ability to do it, except that man can't, because of the heart condition, do it. And so he proved that with this condition in Israel, and that's what the Course is established in this prophecy that we're looking at, they couldn't handle it. Now, he turned completely around, and he's dealing in grace, and he's allowing man to do whatever he wants. And he still prolongs the day because he's not willing that any should perish. But what he's proving is that now he's given his written word complete. It's available. It's the most published book in the world. Has been for years, and as far as I know, still is, and probably always will be while we're down here. And he's proved that man can't handle that situation. Now he's going to bring terrible judgment on the world. It's so terrible it's only going to be 7 years, and of that 7 years, it's only the last 3.5 that are really going to be bad. And it says it's shortened because man couldn't survive if it wasn't shortened. And what he's going to prove is that men, you know what Revelation says over and over again, they call on the rocks to fall on them instead of obeying God, calling on God. And then last of all, he's going to restore the earth in perfect peace, and he's going to rule in such a way that there'll be no civil disobedience. There'll be no civil liberties. There'll be none of this nonsense we have today. It'll be perfect rule and the only time. And he's going to prove that man won't even get through that. That is mankind as a whole, because at the end, they all gather around Jerusalem. The reason that they don't do anything, of course, you're probably familiar that in the beginning, Satan is chained. At the end, he's loose. And he enters, enter into the hearts of men who know all the perfection of that 1,000-year period, but refuse to accept it. They had to obey because he made them obey. But they don't accept it. Now, he's proved under every condition that with his heart of wisdom and love and guidance and direction, man failed. So at the very end, at your great white throne, nobody is going to stand up and accuse him of missing one single point. And that's what God is doing. And so, that is what makes this study of these last years very interesting to me, at least, and I think interesting to those who study it. The time is gone and my tape has run out, so I'll have to quit. Father, once again, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the love that brought him to Calvary. We thank thee, Father, for the wisdom that gives us thy precious word and encourages us to live in the light of it and to walk in a way that is pleasing to thee and do those things which thou dost guide each one of us to do. Again, we look to thee for guidance and help and encouragement in thy things as we part. Keep us safe and guide us in thy ways, for we ask it in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I don't know whether we're going to be studying this Sunday or next Tuesday. but the next time, I'll ask you if you have any thoughts about what we've said so far, or any questions in relation to what I said as to why I said it, if I haven't made it clear so far. We'll endeavor to look at these things in more detail as we go on. So we'll still look at Revelation 7, 8, and 9. And next time, we'll go into Daniel. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do, speak up. I'm trying to think of two things at once. I used to be able to do it, but I can't anymore.